On any given day of the week, you can pick up a newspaper and you can find some type of tragedy, some type of gruesome crime or financial disaster is going on. It was only last year that it looked like our whole financial system, if you remember, was about to collapse there for a while. It seems like every day or every week there's a new crisis. Some are real and some are manufactured. In our own personal lives and in the lives of our family and friends, we often find problems too. People losing their jobs, sometimes their homes. Some have lost close family members or found out they have, you know, a disease or sickness. Some are faced with, you know, family breakups, and the list could go on and on about things that bad things that can happen, because the fact is we live in a tough world. It's life is not easy. It never has been, and it never will be. Life in this world, we have problems. That's a scripture in the book of John. It doesn't matter if you're old or young or rich or poor, or man or woman, or white, black, yellow, brown, or red. It doesn't matter. We all have something that's going to come at us, and we all face hurts in some way, shape, or form. So what do we do if we don't have the strength, if we don't have the means to pull ourselves up out of that situation, out of that problem, out of that trouble? What if we're just overwhelmed and we just feel like, man, I can't do it? What if our whole world just seems to be crashing down upon us and we don't know where to turn? Wouldn't it be nice if there was some place that we could go, some place of safety, some place that was secure, some place that where there was help, where there was protection, provision? What we really need is a place of refuge. There's a poem that was written. You may recognize some of these words. It says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." That's from the base of the Statue of Liberty. Those words were written there. And people from all over the world have responded to that message, crossed oceans, given up their families, their lives, their jobs, their homes, to come over to this country because they were persecuted, oppressed, poverty. They came here to come to a place of refuge. Everybody wants to be somewhere where they can be safe and they can prosper and they can do well. But that Statue of Liberty, you know, it represents that this country has been a place of refuge. Most of us, when we were little children, we could run into mommy or daddy's arms whenever there was a problem, whenever there was something wrong, and they could do anything. They could fix anything. They could answer any question. They could take care of our needs. But as we got a little bit older, we started to break away from, you know, a little bit from mom and dad, and we became a little more, our problems became a little more complex. We grew, we started to go to our new little places of refuge. You know, little hikes or hideouts or clubhouses, or maybe it was books or games or things like that. Someplace we could go to be, you know, to get away from things. And then a little bit later, as we grew up, we began to confide in our friends and we would tell them our deepest and secrets. We trusted them with our hopes and our dreams and our fears and our sorrows. And our friends, in a sense, became our refuge then. And we got older still, and we found out that, you know what, friends don't even provide the answers. And many of us made the mistake then of turning to other things, like it might have been alcohol or drugs, sex, too much sleeping, shopping, you know, some other thing that we ran to, and we embraced it, and that was our escape, our refuge, our place to go. But how can any of those things help us if our life is falling apart? What do we do if there's no one there to turn to when we need that? Wouldn't it be nice if we could turn back the clock and just run to mom and dad again and they really could fix everything? But they can't. If we're parents, we know we're limited. We can fix some things, but we certainly can't fix everything. But there is someone we can turn to. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though the waters roar and foam, the mountains quake with their surging. What is God saying here? He's saying that, you know, these mountains that are seen as symbols of strength and power, these mountains where fortresses are built on top of, that these mountains are, even if they go, Psalm 46, it's telling us that even if the mountains fall, if they fall into the sea, if they crash and they're gone, if the whole world comes crashing down, that God is still there. That in Him we have a place of refuge. You remember David, King David. As a young boy, he fought bears with his own hands. He killed a lion with his own hands. If you remember the story, he went out when everyone else was afraid and fought Goliath, the giant Goliath, and beat him and ended up, you know, killing him. He was not afraid. He ended up going to war and winning battles left and right. He was a mighty warrior, a man who exemplified strength and confidence. And yet there were times when even King David felt lonely, he felt discouraged, he felt depressed, he felt cornered and ready to fall. And where did he turn to in times like that? Psalm 31, verse 1 and 2. David is writing and he says, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me." Over and over, we find in the Psalms that we read about the heart of a man that God really loved. He was the apple of God's eye. And we find the heart of a man who really loved God. Someone who really did love God. And he trusted God to be his refuge. No one was created to be independent. No one was created to not need help. We may have heard the statement or the saying that no man is an island. And it's true. When God created us, when He made us, He made a need, a place, an emptiness in there that would be there. That emptiness is there for a purpose. To draw us back to Him. He's the only thing that can ever satisfy that need that's inside of our heart, that's inside of our spirit. Just like when we were little and we were hurting and we ran to our parents, God wants us to run to our Father now, our Heavenly Father, and turn to Him during those times. Because the truth is, we all need a place of refuge. Way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, before the Israelites had moved into the Promised Land, God told Moses that He wanted the Levites to build 48 towns. And six of those towns were to be called cities of refuge. That's in Numbers chapter 35, verse 6 through 4. It tells us all about that. These towns were to be spread all over the Promised Land so that they could be close to all the different cities. Historical records tell us that the paths or the roads to those cities were 32 cubits or 48 feet wide. That's pretty wide for a road back in those days. And they were to be made as smooth as possible, no stumbling blocks in the way. And at every turn, at every crossing, there had to be a sign that pointed and said, "City of Refuge," that way. Why did they need these cities? From the earliest of times, it was the custom of people from the East that when someone was killed, whether on purpose or whether by accident, that his nearest relative would have to avenge his death. And he was called the Avenger of Blood. And he would hunt down and kill that person, even if it took him 20, 30, 40 years. That was now his life's goal, to take the life of the person who took a life. So God commanded the Israelites to have these six cities of refuge, where the person who killed another by accident could flee to. And once they entered the city of refuge, the blood avenger couldn't touch him. He couldn't make a move. He couldn't go in and kill him. This man or this woman or whoever it was would go into that city and they would have a trial. And if he was found guilty, he was thrown out outside the gates of the city and the avenger of blood would take his life. But if he was found innocent, he got to live in that city for the rest of his life and he was free. He actually had to live there for the rest of his life or until the high priest died. But the people that were outside, they had to go. They had to leave him alone. They could no longer touch him because he had been found innocent. Imagine if you were living in those days and